Marriage Life. A series based on the mutual love and mistrust of a young married couple. With Richard Briers as George Starling and Prunella Scales as his wife, Kate.
Well, I must say, if I was asked to recall the most complicated time of my life, I think I plumped for that bit when my application for an overseas job with my firm was accepted on the same day that the house mortgage we never thought would come through came through. It was a tricky sort of situation. It seemed a shame to turn down either, but it would have been madness to accept both. So in the end, we accepted both. But what I mean is, I explained the situation to my firm, and they said I could go abroad on a short-term tour, mainly for overseas sales experience, and still have a home to come back to. But as I said, it was a complicated period. With all the forms I had to sign and all the phone calls I had to make, it's the first time in my life I've ever envied an octopus. And I'd have envied an octopus even more if I'd known about the little bit of domestic chaos lying just round the corner. Just the sort of thing that makes the bottom of the sea look a very attractive place.
Hello?
Oh, Dr. Bennett, this is Catherine Starling here. Could I come and see you about a quarter of an hour later than we'd arranged? My friend who's coming round to look after Helen hasn't arrived yet. I just rang her place and there's no answer, so she's obviously on her way.
Yes, that's all right, Mrs. Starling. As a matter of fact, I thought you might be ringing to say your husband had decided to come with you after all.
No, he seems to be absolutely thriving on all the extra work. I told him you'd suggested he ought to have a tonic.
What did he say?
He said he didn't think there was enough room in the bathroom cupboard for another bottle. There's certainly no room in my mother's flat for any more official papers.
Yes, it is a business buying a house, isn't it?
Well, it is, but George really seems to enjoy it.
Responsibility's gone to his head a bit, has it?
A bit? When he goes through the mail in the morning, it's like having breakfast with Charles Shaw. How he's become a complete tycoon.
Yes, well, I must say, I saw him across the road the other day. I didn't realise it was him at first. He seemed to be walking quite differently.
Yes, I know. He's developed a sort of measured tread, hasn't he? Did you think he looked taller?
No.
Well, I'm sure he is. And he's bought himself a briefcase, Dr. Bennett, and a pipe.
Yes, I think I've got the relevant documents to hand, Mr. Hamilton. Yeah. I'll get him to dispatch it today, certainly. I think we're beginning to see the daylight at last, don't you? When it's all over, you must come round and have a spot of sherry in our new place. Yes, not at all, not at all. Goodbye. Humphrey. My little book of useful numbers is getting more like the classified directory. Better ring the bank.
George, sorry to bother you.
Just a second, Ken, old man. Just ringing the bank.
House going through all right?
Oh, yes. It's a business, you know. Mortgages, insurances, medical checkups.
Yes, well, actually, that's what I wanted to see you about. We're thinking of trying for a house.
Mr. Humphrey, please. Yes. George Starling again. Yes, thank you. Sorry, Ken.
I heard you were the mortgage expert.
I wouldn't say that. I picked up the odd wrinkle, you know. Well, one has to when one's... Mr. Humphrey, Starling here again. Look, I've just been on to Hamilton. He says we ought to get the insurance certificate off to Whiting and Crossworth today. Oh, you have? Oh, splendid. I hope you didn't think I was casting aspersions on your... right there, Mr. Humphrey. Yes, very. Yes, goodbye. Now then, this little problem of yours, Ken. What I'd suggest is... you pass me those matches. My pipe's gone out. Now, what I personally advise you to do...
Hello, Patty, come in.
Am I late?
Every clock in my flat has stopped, and I couldn't dial Tim because they've cut the phone off.
Oh, Patty.
Well, it's these quarter days. I'm sure there are more of them than there used to be. And you can't settle every bill the same week, can you? You have to decide which one's going to be the nastiest. And I always thought the Postmaster General had a kind face.
I told the doctor I'd be a bit late, so have a cup of tea.
Oh, that'd be marvellous. I've been dying for one all day.
Patty, they haven't switched the gas off too, have they?
What?
Oh, no.
Good.
It's just that I owe the grocers.
See,
What did you say you were seeing the doctor about?
Well, I had to see him a week or so ago when I had the medicals for going abroad with George.
Mm. You're not still going?
No, no. George will only be away for 6 months now. I'll move into the new house with Helen and get it ready for him.
Only 6 months?
What?
Oh, don't let him hear you say that. They like to imagine you're sobbing into your little handkerchief every moment they're away.
Oh, good Lord, yes, don't tell him.
Don't be silly.
I'll miss him terribly, of course, but it's all been such a nightmare lately. I'll be glad of a bit of peace. That's what I'm seeing the doctor about. I said I was feeling tired, and he said he thought I was a bit run down and I had the medical, so he's going to give me a tonic or something.
Don't tell George.
That's two things I mustn't tell George. No, well, I mean, George's got a terrible thing about doctors. He'll imagine I'm secretly ill and keeping it from him so that he doesn't worry while he's away, or else I'm pregnant again.
Oh, that would go down well. You haven't even christened the first one yet.
Yes, Mr. Hamilton, yes. I got on to them straight away, and they said they'd send the certificate off. Yeah. Right you are. Yeah, thank you so much. Goodbye.
George, could you give me some advice?
don't tell me you're going in for property buying, Neville. Your first hasn't arrived yet, has it?
No, but it was about the baby. I wanted to ask you if you can spare a moment.
Of course I can, Neville. Come in, my dear. Come in. Shut the door, will you? As long as you don't mind the phone interrupting us, what with insurances, bank loans and securities, I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
I hope I never have to do it.
Well, I didn't have to do it at your age, but it's amazing how you pick up the know-how, you know? So then, what about this unborn nipper of yours, eh?
Well, when I said about the baby, I meant about Jean. She and I haven't been hitting it off too well lately.
Oh, God. Good heavens, Neville, that's one of the hazards of being an expectant father. You've got to put up with all the wife's little whims and weeps. Not nearly so bad after it arrived.
Really?
Oh, no, my dear fellow. Things go like absolute clockwork. You wonder to yourself, why the devil you worried?
You worried, did you, George?
Good Lord, did I worry? You would like to say that again. You should see me prowling round like someone waiting for the jury's verdict.
Did Kate ever leave you?
Leave me?
Jean went back to her mother last night.
Did she? Did she? Well, Kate was always threatening to, but she never actually went.
Your
wife came back though, didn't she?
Not last night.
What?
Oh, she's back now. I rang her, but she wasn't very talkative.
Oh, lucky you. Kate always had a... My wife always had a positive armory of telling phrases.
Well, it's a relief to hear it happens to everyone. Thanks, George.
No, hang on a minute, Neville.
Yes?
Look, why don't you pop in for a drink with us on your way home? See for yourself how smooth life can be with a baby. And Kate can probably... Kate can probably tell you a bit more about how the girl feels before it arrives. I tell you what, I'll just check that we're not entertaining royalty or anything.
Well, that's very kind of you, George. I'd love to.
Pleasure, my dear fellow, pleasure. I've been through it all. I know just how you feel.
You're sure you can spare the time?
Of course I can. Take a nice break from the housing problems. Hello? No reply. Oh, she must have taken Helen for a walk or something. Anyway, you come round anyway. Ask your wife to join us there if you like. I'm sure we can pour a little gin on troubled water there.
Well, Cassie, I'd say that congratulations were probably in order again.
Congratulations?
My dear, there's nothing wrong with you whatsoever.
Oh, splendid.
You're just pregnant.
Good. What?
Don't bank on it. That's a prognostication, not a diagnosis.
Dr. Bennett, please don't joke.
Oh, good heavens, Catherine, what an extraordinary gal you are. Most wives are thrilled to death with news, and yet this is exactly like the last time with you. Horror and disbelief.
I'm sorry, Dr. Bennett, but my babies do pick such terrible times.
Well, they couldn't pick them without a little assistance from you and your husband.
Yes, I know, but... At moments like this, George tends to forget about his contribution.
Well, you remind him.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bennett. That'll make all the difference.
But it's a wonderful thing to have children with their ages so close. My sister had 5 in 6 years. Then there was a 2-year gap, and then she had triplets.
But she wasn't just moving into a new house, was she? And her husband wasn't due to go abroad. And last time I told George I was pregnant, I had to tell him that you'd advise me not to go on holiday as well.
Yes, I know, my dear, I know. Well, it could be that I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Still, it so happens I'm dropping in on a colleague of mine on the way home who's an authority on this sort of thing. Why don't you come along with me? He'll do a conclusive test on the spot.
Oh, I'd love to, thank you.
Will your baby be all right?
Which one? Oh, Henry. Yes, I'll collect her from Patty's after I've seen your friends.
All right, well, I've one more patient to see. Perhaps you'd care to sit in the waiting room and browse through some of my turn-of-the-century magazines.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, do you want to ring the baby lover?
Who?
Your husband.
Oh, no thanks. I didn't even tell him I was coming here in case he started getting suspicious.
I suppose if she produced twins, he'd have her deported.
Ah, here we are, Neville. Home sweet home. Or rather, Kate's mother's home sweet home. Let me take a cut.
Thanks.
Now then, notice the first thing, do you? Notice it? Lesson one. No screaming or yelling, and the place isn't a sea of nappies and rattles. Do sit down, Emma.
Well, I must say, George...
Ah, there you are, Neville. That's the sort of union it's going to be. Soothing and highly instructive.
Where is she?
Kate?
Yes.
Well, now, let me see. At this precise moment, she'll be tidying up in the bedroom. Our daughter will be in the arms of Morpheus, and we'll be at complete liberty to answer any questions you care to find.
It's a matter of routine, then, is it, basically?
Exactly, Neville. You've got it. It is. Congratulations. You're a quick learner. Yeah, the whole thing's a routine, you see? A place for everything, everything in its place. Which doesn't make for a life with any surprises, but it's a comforting feeling sometimes knowing exactly what's around the corner. But I'll just let Kate know you're here. Darling? Oh. Of course, routine is like that old saying about rules, and there's always the exception.
What?
Well, I was wrong about the bedroom. I should think Helen's probably burped up her supper or something, and she's now being administered to in the kitchen.
Well, I won't stop, George.
Nonsense, but it's all experience, isn't it? I mean, you came here to hear the worst. Darling! Bathroom. What would you like to drink, Neville?
Look, are you sure it's all right, George? I mean, I can easily meet Jean and tell her that...
Of course it's all right. What are you talking about? But she probably forgot something and had to dash out of the shop, so she had to take Helen with her, you see.
You mean she's not here?
No. But, as I say, if she had to go out, she'd have to take her... Yeah, and there'll be a sheaf of notes to prove it, you see. Now then, where she left the message, eh? Kate's an absolutely compulsive note writer, you know. I remember one time, early on, when she had to nip off to Luton because her grandmother was ill. I couldn't get in the place for instructions. Meal in fridge, don't forget to switch off gas, sorry I forgot bread.
Well, actually, I wish Jean was more like that.
She hasn't left it in any of the usual places. What? I'm sorry, old man. What?
I just said I wish my wife is a bit more like yours. If she takes it into her head to go off and do something, she just goes off and does it. And I'm supposed to have a crystal ball handy to find out where she is.
Yes. Well, Kate doesn't always leave the note in the most obvious place. That's the snag. You ready for another drink? Oh, of course, I haven't given you the first yet, have I? What's it to be?
Well, you mentioned a gin.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, good. Perhaps it's blown on the floor.
You're not worried, are you, George?
What? Worried? Good Lord, no. I mean, that's why I asked you, isn't it? I mean, to have a gander at fatherhood without tears. No. I mean, you want to keep an even keel in this business, you see, Neville. You don't let yourself get thrown. Relax. Pour yourself a... Oh, sorry, your drink. Now, what was it? What is it, a beer?
Well, you said gin.
Gin, yes. Right, yeah. Kate's mother left some behind. I hope she didn't mark the bottle.
Water, all right, with it? She didn't leave any tonic.
Oh, yes, thanks.
All right.
Ah, this is the time to give the troops. Oh, have a sip of that. That'll calm the old nerve. Cheers. Oh, I forgot to give myself one. I'm so sorry. not that you won't need anything to calm them after you've had a word with Kate. She'll soon put your thinking... Kate, where on earth have you... Oh, hello, Mum. No, she isn't. No, but not to worry. Yes, it is a bit. No, she didn't. Yes, I know she usually does, but this time she didn't. Well, were you ringing her or me? No, I'm not. It's just that I've got someone here and we were having a quiet drink. All right. Yes. Goodbye, Mum. Mothers do worry, don't they? Well, now, at last, a quiet drink. Cheers, Neville. Oh, still haven't got myself one, have I? Ah, here she is.
Kate, where is my husband here? I'm Neville's wife.
Oh, yes, sorry, I'm George Starr.
Oh, how do you do?
Come in.
darling.
Oh, darling.
I'm sorry about last night.
Oh,
darling.
Don't be silly, darling.
I didn't sleep a wink.
I know. You said when I rang.
Won't happen again.
Of course it won't. Well, that's why we're here, isn't it? To learn the ropes.
Yes. It's very kind of you, Mr. Starling. And your wife.
Won't you sit down? Yes, well, would you care for a drink?
Oh, I'd love to, but I don't think I should.
Ah, with the baby coming? No, quite right. Well, excuse us knocking you back, won't you?
Yes.
Cheers.
Isn't it quiet? Oh, we always think of children as screaming their heads off the whole time, don't we, darling? Oh, where is your wife? Is she putting her to bed?
No.
Oh, she's in bed. Oh, I'd love to see her.
No, she's not in bed yet.
Really? Well, I thought at this age, well, I thought they needed a lot of sleep.
Well, they do. It's just that she's not here at the moment.
But your wife or the baby?
Both, and neither.
Oh.
Well, it's nothing to worry about.
Oh, but well, I thought the idea was, well, you know, for Neville and me to come round and see, well, you know.
Yes, it was. It is.
Well, you know where they are, then?
No. Well, I can think of lots of places that they might be, but I'm not going to ring round all of them, am I, when I know everything's perfectly all right?
Oh, I wish Neville was a bit more like that. You know, if I'm 5 minutes late and I haven't left a note, he's practically onto the police, aren't you, Neville? I say to him when I come home, well, what on earth do you think could have happened to me? And he says, well, a million and one things, a street accident, or I could have been taken ill, or the baby arrived prematurely.
What?
And I say, well, that's only three things. What about the rest of the million and one? And he says...
Are you sure you won't have a drink?
Yes, thank you. Good night, Neville. And then he says, well, that's enough, isn't it? To think of you lying under a bus, or you've scalded yourself, or the baby's on the way and I'm not there.
Or something to eat.
No, thanks. And then he says, well, it's easy enough to leave a note, isn't it? And I said, well, how can I leave a note? I don't know I'm going to be run over before I leave home, do I? And if I'd scalded myself, well, I wouldn't be up to writing, would I? And if the baby was arriving prematurely.
Well, look, is there any question you'd like to ask me?
Well...
Yes?
Yes.
Good.
Do you know how long your wife will be? Because, you see, I promised my mother that we'd go round and see her tonight, both of us, so that she'd know that everything was all right again.
Well, there she is. And she's forgotten her key. Well, you know what they say about even the best regulated families.
Hello, George. Patty. Mind the pram. Oh, I'm sorry, George, but Kate said she'd be back to collect her, and I've got to go out in an hour.
Where is she? Mrs. Starling, we haven't met before. I'm Jean Harris, and George very kindly asked us round tonight so that you and I could swap pregnancy stories. Oh, what a beautiful child. Oh, she's got your eyes exactly, hasn't she, darling?
Well, actually, I'm not.
This is an old friend of mine. And Kate's. Patty Stanford, this is from Mrs. Harris.
How do you do?
Good evening. Hello.
Well, I'll put her to bed, George. I've helped Kate before, you know. I know which end to put the nappy on. Would you open the bedroom door, George?
Yes, yes, of course, of course.
Mind the plan. Thank you.
That's, Patty.
Patty?
She used to live downstairs, in our last flat. Well, obviously, Kate asked her to look after Helen.
I see.
Yes.
Look, do sit down. I'd just like a word with Patty, but just excuse me. Patty, what the devil's going on?
Good heavens, don't think I want to know.
But you must know how you happen to have our baby.
Well, of course I do. But I didn't know why I had to have her so long. I've been going nearly frantic. I mean, I knew enough stories to keep her quiet for a couple of hours. But after that, the only ones I could think of were filthy ones. Not that it had mattered. She hadn't understood a blind word anyway.
Look, where did Kate go?
She went to the... What?
What?
Where did she go?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Out.
Well, I know she's out. I've been painfully aware of that for the last half hour. That had better be her. That'll be her. Hello? Ah, hello, darling. I was just wondering where you... Well, she's here. Helen, yes, she's here. Well, Patty just bought her. But where are you? Kate? Kate! That was my wife. She ought to be here any moment. And then we'll have our little chat, eh? I just want another brief word with Patty.
What's she playing at, Patty?
Nothing. She's dropped off.
I'm not talking about Helen. I'm talking about Kate.
What?
That was her ringing to find out where Helen was. And when I asked her where she was, she ran off.
Oh, she must have called round at my place. Well, that means she'll be here soon.
Well, about time. Do you know what that couple in there are doing?
Expecting a baby, by the look of it.
Yes, they're expecting a baby, their first baby. And they've been having rather a dodgy time. So I asked them round here for a quick gander at a spot of domestic harmony. And what happens? For the first 10 minutes, it was a raving stag party. And even after his wife arrived, the only domestic aspect was me, and I was feeling far from harmonious. To be followed very closely by a complete stranger with our baby, and a phone call from Kate that must have sounded like a ransom demand. Who's that? Oh. Hello, Neville.
I'm sorry to disturb you, George, but Jean promised her mother we'd go round.
What? Oh, yes, but I'm terribly sorry. I was just coming back. And my wife's on her way. Do stay for a moment if you can.
Well, look, we'd like to, of course, but we thought you were a bit tied up.
Nonsense. It's just a break in the routine, that's all. Does you good. It keeps you young. Actually, I'm glad you saw it in a way. It sort of shows you what I was talking about, Neville. You mustn't let anything get you down.
No.
No.
I mean, quite frankly, I didn't know where my wife was when I got home, did I, Neville?
No.
No, I didn't. Well, supposing I started thinking of a million and one things that had happened to him, that wouldn't have helped, would it?
No.
No,
of course it would. I mean, instead, we had a quiet drink because I knew perfectly well that my wife and child would turn up eventually. Although, even I didn't think they'd arrive separately. another little surprises that keep you young. And I also knew that she'd have a complete and unreasonable explanation as to where she'd been and what had delayed her and why she hadn't left a note or rang me. It's this sort of thing that I want you to see for yourself. And then have a little chat with Kate about how she copes, how she stays calm in what seems a crisis, and how she treats her husband. and there she is. Now, I'm not claiming that we're unique in this, but I do think we're a fairly good example. Ah, oh, hello, darling. Well,
I forgot my key. Hello, George. Sorry, how's Helen? Is she all right?
Of course she's all right.
I've no idea. I'm so late.
Well, darling, don't go in the bedroom. I want to have a quick word with you.
Patty, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I was just getting a bit worried.
Yes, well, Dr. Bennett said I was pregnant again. You see, that drove everything out of my mind for a start.
Pregnant?
But he said he wasn't sure, and he took me round to see another doctor. He said,
twins?
What? No. But one's bad enough, isn't it? And I thought, how am I going to tell George? I must have someone here to take his mind off things. If I'd known you were going to be, I wouldn't have rung Miles.
Miles?
How super. But it's not just me here. Haven't you met the Harrises?
Who?
Kate, will you please come out? Darling, you don't know Dean and Neville Harris, do you?
No.
No, I'd have introduced you, but you flew past as such a lick. My wife, Kate, as you've probably noticed, darling, Jean's joined the club.
Yes, congratulations.
And, quite frankly, they've been having one or two of those little troubles that you and I had a year or so ago, so I said that perhaps we could give them the odd wrinkles out of our vast experience.
Yes, of course. Do sit down. Well, what can I tell you?
Well, for a start, you can tell all of us where you've been.
Been?
Today.
There was I telling them both of what an ordered and regular existence we both lead, and you spoil the whole thing by going absent without leave. Well, I didn't worry, now that they'll bear me out on that. In fact, I told them the reason I didn't worry was that the explanation was always so simple. So where have you been, darling?
I think I'd better give Patty a hand.
Hey, come here. Neville and Jean haven't very long, darling. Just stop whizzing about for a moment. Good heavens, I don't know what they're thinking. I asked them round to see an average evening in the happy Starling family. I've never known one that ran less to form. Less to form. Excuse me a moment. Miles.
Hello, George, old man. Just thought I'd drop in and catch a drink off you. Oh, Kate didn't say you had company.
Kate? She asked you round?
No. Well, I bumped into Miles, didn't I, Miles?
Look,
Miles, I don't think you know Neville and Jean Harris.
No.
Is it Neville and Jean Harris?
I had a feeling it was.
Miles Coldry,
how do you do? I hope I haven't interrupted anything.
No, we were just leaving.
What? No, look. You came all this way for a chat, and I insist we have a chat.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, George, but I honestly didn't know you had... I'll go.
No, Miles.
It's just that we bumped into each other.
Yes, well, thanks, Miles. I'll give you a ring.
Yes.
Patty! Miles, you remember Patty, don't you?
How could I ever forget? Where have you been?
In there, putting the baby to bed.
You haven't had a baby?
No, it's Kate's baby.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm so sorry. It was just in the room looking like a prenatal class.
It was very kind of you, but perhaps another time.
On a more typical evening.
You weren't, you know.
No.
But perhaps you could come round to us.
Yes.
It's not like this usually.
No, I'm sure it isn't. Our evenings will seem quite tame after this, won't they,
Doctor? Well, they will. We'll wonder what we were worried about, won't we?
Yes. So it's all been worthwhile, you see.
Yes.
Yes, well.
Well,
thanks very much, George.
Yes.
And Kate.
Oh, yes.
See you.
Yes.
Kate, what the devil's going on?
I must see to poor Helen.
You weren't worried about poor Helen earlier. Now, look, never mind about Neville and Jean. What's been happening today? You arrive home late. Patty has to bring your child. You ask Miles round.
Yes, you've hardly spoken to Miles. Do offer him a drink, George.
You offer him a drink. You asked him.
Would you like a drink?
Not now. Just tell me what's been going on.
George, please.
Kate,
I'd rather not.
Why?
Because you're upset enough.
All right, so I can't get any more upset, can I?
I wish I could be sure of that.
Patty, do you know what's been happening?
Well...
You do? Miles.
Well...
Right. Now, everybody knows except me. Now, Kate...
It's not the right atmosphere.
It certainly is not the right atmosphere, and I will tell you exactly why it isn't. Because you have subjected me to one of the most embarrassing evenings that I've ever
had. I'm going to have another baby.
I've been worried to death. I've been embarrassed out of my life. Those poor two... What did you say?
I'd just been to see Dr. Bennett, and he took me to another doctor to confirm it, and I'm pregnant again, George. Congratulations.
Yes, well done, old man.
I was going to wait until you were in a good mood, you see, darling. I know it hasn't come at a very good moment when you've so many other things to think about and lots of expenses and everything. But if you could just look on it, that I would have something to think about and occupy me while you were away. And you'll miss the most boring bit when I'm staggering about the size of a house and you'd have to carry the heavy shopping, darling. And perhaps your firm will let you come home even sooner. And about the expense, darling, I'm going in for competitions in the paper and collecting soap packet tops.
Will you be all right?
What?
Well, it's all right, is it? I'm so soon after the other one.
Oh, yes.
You sure?
Well, yes, darling. Dr. Bennett said it was wonderful to have two children with their ages so close, but I'm not worried about that. I was worried about...
Well, Tad, if you're not worried, I'm not worried.
Aren't you?
No. Congratulations, Ollie.
Thank you, George. Same to you.
Thanks. Well, yes, I must say, I've heard people say that before about having them close together. It's being a good thing. You might be right about them letting me come home a bit sooner. Well, I must tell Mum and Dad. Well, I wish you'd mentioned it when Neville and Jean were here, darling. They'd have been so thrilled. Well, I'll give Arthur and Dennis a ring, too, and Ozzy. I wonder if Neville's in the book. I might try and ring him when he... Oh, hello, Mum. Just to let you know, we're expecting again. Yes. Yes, we're quite pleased, actually. Well, thank you. I will. Yes, okay. She's getting Dad. You pass me my pipe, darling, will you? Thanks. Hello, Dad? Oh, thank you. Yes, well, we'll need that house more than ever now, won't we? Oh, it's all going very well, thanks, Dad. Yeah, well, when I say well, I'm still up to my ears in mortgages and insurances and bank managers and giving advice to colleagues on the side, but I seem to be coping, Dad. I seem to be coping.
In that episode of Marriage Lines were Richard Bryars and Prunella Scales as George and Kate Starling. Patty was played by Anna Gilchrist, Neville by Derek Bowles, Jean by Rosemary Miller, Miles by Edward D'Souza, and Dr. Bennett by Frederick Treves. Marriage Lines was written by Richard Waring and produced by Charles Maxwell.